50th Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Hunter Haas, Brett Johnson, here for today's Minnesota Progressive Repartee. And we're going to be talking a lot about the debate happening tonight, the third debate, Democratic primary. Big debate. It's finally the adults' table. We got the 10 candidates that are qualified, I'd say. Little bit of controversy on how they were decided, but nevertheless, kind of the strongest candidates, you could say, and no longer having the two nights of debates. And we will be having a party tonight. So join me, Brett, Matt, Eric, the whole crew down at the Park Tavern for our AM 950 debate watching party this evening.
And people got to see what you're wearing. You are in one stylish outfit for this debate party.
I am. I dressed up. I won't even explain it because you got to come down and see for yourself.
Like a tease.
Yes. So we have tickets at the door, correct?
Only available at the door now for $15. Just go right to the Park Tavern, the front door. They'll point you in the right direction, and we'll take your payment right outside our debate washing room.
There we go. But to start us off, we have a guest. We have Shay Hansen of Minnesota Let People Vote Coalition about election security and preventing foreign intervention in our elections. Shay, it's good to have you.
It's good to be here. Thanks for this opportunity to spread the word about the rally on Tuesday and just this issue in general, which is so critical.
Absolutely. So why don't you give us a rundown of the event next Tuesday?
Our local rally, which is part of 35 to 40 rallies being held around the country, is at 1200 South Washington Avenue at 12 noon. That's in front of Senator Klobuchar's office building in Minneapolis there. And we'll be making a loud noise, trying to let Mitch McConnell hear us, that we need him to stop blocking legislation which would release funds to the states to upgrade our sadly lacking vulnerable voting machines all over in the states, which are wide open to hacking right now. So this has been organized, promoted by a coalition, a national coalition called Secure the Vote, and September 17th, Tuesday, is the day of action for all these rallies. Secure the Vote is a coalition of public citizen and common cause, and a raft of other organizations, but those have been the main two leaders of it.
Yes. Yeah, so this is taking place all across the country, correct?
It is, it is. Last I heard, there were maybe 40, and there were still more being organized. So I think it's a crucial issue. Voting rights and interference in our voting rights is fundamental to everything. We can't get any initiatives through if we're not able to have secure elections and trust the numbers that are coming out of our voting machines. I just can't underscore this enough, that we need to raise a hue and cry. This is a red line. We will not tolerate interference in our democratic voting rights.
Absolutely. Now, you're going outside of Senator Klobuchar's office, and as far as I've seen, she's been fairly good about this and causing kind of a stir in the Senate. What have your interactions with her or Tina Smith been so far?
Well, Senator Klobuchar is in Washington now, so she can't speak at the rally, but she's sending a representative from her office to speak. And yes, we want to make it clear that we are not there to criticize her in any way. No, she's been a real hero with this. She's co-sponsoring legislation and actually, I think, co-authored one of the bills that was sent up to McConnell. And also this rally is nonpartisan. ACLU Minnesota is a co-sponsor of the local rally. public citizen and common cause or nonpartisan, and we want to stress the fact that many Republicans support this bill. In fact, I was told that there was a were ads running in Kentucky on the part of a conservative group urging Mitch McConnell to do the right thing here because it's a to them it's a matter of national security and good government. So our target is McConnell, we just hope everybody will come out and participate. I think one of the things I almost have to laugh because Mitch McConnell's excuses for not letting this legislation go to the floor would be really funny if it didn't have such harsh consequences. Mm-hmm. The first thing he said was this was a power grab on the part of the Democrats. How can secure elections be a power grab on the part of anybody?
Yeah, absolutely. That's ridiculous.
Then he said, we've already sent the money. And that's true. They did apportion some money for elections, but they didn't include any standards. So the money was used to just reinforce the same vulnerable machines that we already have, and there were not upgrades to paper ballots, which is what we need. So then he said, well, we can't send standards down to the states because the states, the federal government can impose standards on the states. It's their purview. Elections is their purview. But this isn't mandatory. Nobody's imposing anything on the states. If they don't want to adhere to the standards that are included, they don't have to take the money. So in the end, I hate to go to this conclusion, but I'm forced to look at, is it possible that McConnell just thinks the Republicans can't win an election unless they suppress voting and allow hacking? Is that what it's come to?
Yeah, it is suspicious. I mean, I don't know why anyone would be opposed to this. It like you said, it's clearly a nonpartisan. It's in everybody's interest to make sure the votes are counted accurately, that it's safe. Since when would any American representative not want to protect from a foreign country potentially swaying the votes? It's crazy. So I share that it's almost funny that he would be opposed to this.
But it boggles the mind.
What are kind of, you mentioned the paper ballots. What are some more specifics that you would like to see done?
There is an interesting situation that arose because there's a fellow named, I forget his name, but he is an expert, and he organized a thing called the DEFCON Voting Village and invited hackers to come and try to hack into all the different machines that were used around the country. And every single machine was hackable,
oh, wow.
Including Minnesota machines. Now, I want to stress that Minnesota is in good shape because of what Senator Simon has done. Mm. And because we have verifiable paper ballots, their audits are possible, and that protects us. But in many states, for instance, Pennsylvania, there's no way for the voter to really truly verify that their votes went in accurately, or in case there's an objection, to audit the election. So really, truly, we cannot be sure that the election that just went down in North Carolina was accurate because there's no way to check on it. We need verifiable paper ballots in all states. That's the only safe way. Many of the states now are using touch screen, which are not verifiable. Sometimes just a code is entered, which the voter cannot read. Sometimes they're sent through processing after the voter sees it. The results that came out of these DEFCON experiments are really hair-raising as far as the vulnerabilities, availability of passwords for these machines, machines being sent out on the internet for years, backdoor entrances to these machines. I encourage anybody who is not easily frightened to look into the research on what's going on with all our machines.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating and really upsetting that the hackers were so easily able to influence the machines. But why don't you give the details for the event on Tuesday one more time before we go to a break? Just explain the event and where people can find out more and where, the location and time.
Great. It is, again, 12 noon on Tuesday, September 17, 1200 Washington Avenue South in front of Senator Klobuchar's office building. And if people go to secureourvote.us, that's secureourvote.us, that's the national site. You can put in, click on Take Action, put in your zip code, information will come up, and you can see all the different rallies around the country. And we'll just send a message to McConnell that we're not tolerating any diminution of our democratic rights. That's our red line.
Well, thank you, Shay, for joining us, and I encourage everyone to check out that show up to Senator Klobuchar's office next Tuesday at noon and make sure our democracy stays safe and healthy. But we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Hi, my name is Frank Brown, owner of Minuteman Press Uptown, and I'd like to tell you why you should choose us for all your printing needs. While it's true Minuteman Press Uptown provides the highest quality printing services and graphic design, there's another important reason why you should choose us. We share your values. We believe our employees are a vital part of our success. At Minuteman Press Uptown, I set out to create jobs with a living wage and benefits. I believe in second chances for people who've made mistakes in the past. We're a proud union shop and would love to earn your business.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. Frank and his team at Minuteman Press Uptown are AM 950's go-to for all printing and promotional needs. I was blown away by the knowledge and passion Minuteman Press Uptown had to help me grow my business. Even if you're not sure where to start, their graphic design team can create an effective campaign and strategy to increase your visibility. So choose a print shop who shares your values. They work with businesses, nonprofits, and political campaigns. Call 612-870-0777 or visit mpuptown.com.
Crazy about pets? We are too. The Pet Connection Show is a great venue for fun, informative, and creative conversations about pets. Join myself, Kathy Menard, and Dr. Nicole Parole, along with guests who are leaders in the dynamic and growing pet industry, as we discuss healthcare, relationships, behaviors, and even political issues as they relate to our pets. So come, sit, stay for the Pet Connection Show, Sundays 11 a.m. to noon on AM 950 Radio, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is delighted to offer its spacious facilities for your private function. From weddings, retirement parties, business dinners, or any special occasion, Crooner's combines a dedicated full-service special events team, an award-winning chef, and a beautiful lakeside ambiance to make your event a resounding success. Visit croonersloungemn.com to learn more about their private dining options or call 763-571-9020 to get a quote for your next event today.
Hi, Matt McNeil inviting you to join AM 950 Radio tonight as we host a Democratic debate watching party at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park. Come view the spectacle from Houston with like-minded progressives. We'll have bingo, great prizes, delicious appetizers from the Park Tavern as part of your admission, and drink specials too. Tickets are $15 and you can get them at the door until we're full. Doors open at 6:30. Debate at 7 tonight. It's the AM 950 debate watching party at the Park Tavern, Louisiana Avenue north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park. See you there.
AM AM 950, the Progressive Voice, Minnesota. Hunter Haas, Brett Johnson here for today's Minnesota Progressive Repartee. And tonight is the third Democratic primary debate. It's at the adults table. 10 candidates we're down to. And I kind of spoke briefly yesterday about Andrew Yang and his big surprise. He has been kind of hyping this unprecedented big move that he's going to make tonight at the debate. And me and Eric were talking. Eric predicts that he's going to drop out, actually, and endorse. He thought Bernie. And I don't think that's what it's going to be. But that would be a smart move, actually, because you would assure yourself a really good cabinet position if you backed one of the winning candidates in a move like that early. That is how you assure yourself a really good job.
What would you put Andrew Yang in charge of in a potential Bernie administration?
Not like the Federal Reserve. What is it? There's a commerce. I'd have to look up.
Secretary of Commerce.
Yes, because he wants to do the universal basic income. You have in charge of a role like that. It would fit perfectly. And whether or not it was universal basic income or something, because if it was Bernie, like Eric said, his plan is a federal jobs guarantee. Working those two ideas together as some sort of safety net of basic income, if you couldn't work, I don't know. It could be interesting. I think he'd fit well in that position. And he's a businessman, successful one, for a really charitable industry as well. If you look into Yang's past business career, he was known for one of the most kind of ethical Silicon Valley businesses, actually. So that was interesting that I found out about him when he came on months ago, last year, before he was the big name that he is today.
Before he was, you made him big. It was all you.
I talked to him weeks before he was the shining star he is now. Actually, he's in fifth or sixth place in most polls. Pretty crazy.
That's what I brought up on Monday. I was saying, he's passed pretty much all of the second tier candidates. He's kind of right between that first and second tier. And now that he's on the main stage, I would not be surprised if he picks up a few more percentage points in the polls. I still don't think he'll win, but I could see him going up towards 5 or 6% in those national polls.
Yeah. Well, no one said Donald Trump would win, so we don't really know. Everyone said there's no way he could win the nomination, and now he's the president. So you don't know, and especially in this climate, just crazy things can happen. I mean, what's crazier than the Donald Trump presidency? There's nothing crazier.
Just got to go back to your other point. So Andrew Yang, if he were the Secretary of the Treasury, I think he would take over for Wilbur Ross. What an improvement that would be.
Wow. But this is pretty interesting how Yang has been preparing for tonight's debate. Kind of a he's going to have an unprecedented surprise where his prep is pretty unusual as well. So he invited kind of a few dozen of his donors, top donors, into a an auditorium-type room to emulate the debate, and then hired actors to play each of the candidates. So he had a Kamala Harris impersonator wearing a sharp black jacket. He had a Beto O'Rourke performer who mimicked the congressman's straining horse-like speeches. And then a Cory Booker, an Elizabeth Warren, a Bernie Sanders, all professional actors that were up there debating. And he had his donors, who were the crowd. He said, today you're not the Yang Gang, but you are the DNC insiders. So I want you to jeer everything I say, boo me, make it a real hostile atmosphere to prepare for what the debate could be. And then he had the moderators kind of give the questions, cutting off all the hardball questions. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs with preparation like this, because the reason he set it up this way is he felt that the second debate he was preparing like a typical politician, did all the playing by the book, and that it really hindered him when he was up on stage. So taking a completely different approach has a big surprise as well. So keep an eye out on Andrew Yang tonight. That will be interesting. But Brett, what are you going to be watching for in tonight's debate?
Well, you got me really intrigued watching Andrew Yang, but I really want to see how Elizabeth Warren interacts with Joe Biden. They have not been on the same debate stage yet, and ultimately I think it is going to come down to those final two, although like you said, it's still very early. My prediction probably is going to be wrong, but if you were to ask me today, I would say those are going to be your final two, and I'm curious to see if they aggressively go after each other, because if you look, their personal history is a little bit checkered. They have not always gotten along when they were in the Senate.
No, and Elizabeth Warren actually had a very kind of hostile relationship with the Obama administration in general, and that wasn't really in the, that was unknown for most of the time that it was occurring, but now coming to light that there was a lot of tension between kind of Obama's White House aides and the decisions that they made kind of in the Treasury Department, and they just didn't see eye to eye a lot. And at the time, that wasn't something that Warren wanted to have out there because Obama was really popular within the Democratic Party. And Obama still is, but having disagreements with how he ran the presidency is kind of an okay take to have now. And as we saw in the second debate, like with Tulsi Gabbard and a few of the others that were really criticizing Obama, unusual to criticize a past popular president from your party, but things have been changing.
Yeah, that just bugs me when people say, we can't criticize Obama. Yes, you can. It's constructive criticism. You can't say he was a perfect president. No one was. FDR wasn't a perfect president.
Yeah,
you can still go back and criticize aspects of what they did.
Absolutely. I think, too, with Obama, it was a kind of a failed experiment of working across the aisle. It was seeing if you really could bridge the gap and invite the Republicans in. And we just saw what Mitch McConnell decided to do and just complete obstruction and get nothing done. You couldn't have predicted that they would go to the length that they did because it had never been done in history before. I mean, the extent that the Republicans really just blocked any sort of progress or working with Obama on anything— unprecedented, definitely.
You know, and I think that's might be the most important question at all of these debates. Do some of these candidates still believe you can work with the Republicans? Because I'm kind of with you. I don't think you can anymore.
I don't. You certainly can't with Mitch McConnell
right.
as the really leader of the Senate and kind of the legislation at large. He was
John Cornyn's going to be no different. He's the next in line after McConnell.
Yeah. Well, is he going to win though?
Oh, that's a good point. He's up for election, isn't he?
Yeah, and Texas is a really, it's almost in play. We're so close to being there. If
a certain candidate maybe drops out of the presidential race and enters the Senate, I won't name names, but there's a certain Texas candidate who should maybe consider that.
Yeah, so let's take a break, and we'll come back to a few of those ideas we were talking about. But give us your call on your thoughts on the debate tonight. Our phone number is 952-946-6205, but we'll be right back.
For the week.
Hi, this is Chad from AM950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM950, and we all know how extreme extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM 950 grow this summer, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM 950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM 950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
Finding the best foods the Twin Cities has to offer is easy with EatLocalMinnesota.com. Offering the top local and independently owned restaurants, EatLocalMinnesota.com has everything from burger joints to cocktails and fine dining. Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club invites you to check out their beautiful facilities for your next special occasion. Book your wedding reception, retirement party, business dinner, or other special event with confidence, knowing their expert staff and award-winning chef will make it a big hit with your guests. Call today to get a quote, 763-571-9020. Specializing in Szechuan and Peking cuisine, the Great Wall Chinese Restaurant has been a local favorite since 1981. They offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include the sesame chicken, imperial beef, and Peking duck. The Great Wall Restaurant is located off 45th and France, with takeout available too. More at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Hi, Matt McNeil inviting you to join AM 950 Radio tonight as we host a Democratic debate watching party at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park. Come view the spectacle from Houston with like-minded progressives. We'll have bingo, great prizes, delicious appetizers from the Park Tavern as part of your admission, and drink specials too. Tickets are $15 and you can get them at the door until we're full. Doors open at 6:30. Debate at 7 tonight. It's the AM 950 debate watching party at the Park Tavern, Louisiana Avenue north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park. See you there.
Imagine cyber criminals waiting outside your network, probing for weaknesses. What if you're next? Well, what if you had a team of experts to navigate you through these what-if waters? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rymark with a unique offer, a free network security assessment. We'll uncover the hidden threats to your business and provide you with a map to peace of mind. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RymarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment and stop drowning in what-ifs.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight, thunderstorms with a low around 63. Thursday, thunderstorms continue with a high near 75 and a low around 56. Friday will be mostly cloudy with a high near 64 and a low around 51.
Tickets are still available for our debate watching party coming up on Thursday at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park. They're only $15 and include free appetizers. Doors open at 6:30 with the debate beginning at 7. Plus, we'll have some great prizes to give away throughout the night. Order your tickets now at am950radio.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice, Minnesota. Hunter Haas, Brett Johnson here for Minnesota Progressive, Repartee. And it's debate night. We got our big party tonight at the Park Tavern, 6:30. Come join us for the Democratic debate. We got Gary in Minneapolis on the line. Gary, you going to be joining us?
Yeah, I'd rather be there.
All right. So come join me, Gary.
Two things I want to talk about. Right now I'm supporting Elizabeth Warren and Bernie as second choice. Well, that's because they want to do something with these bankers. They've been ripping us off ever since Clinton and the Republicans got rid of Glass-Steagall. And we need either that back in or something that'll do the same thing. And because we put our money in the bank, we can have any interest, and they make all kinds of money off all of us, and they've been ripping off the rest of the American people royally. And I think Elizabeth Warren, maybe her differences with Obama and Biden might have been they didn't prosecute any bankers as a part of it. And that was my difference, too. And the other thing is, what was it? Just they didn't do enough to help the middle class on the banking scandal. And not to mention the war crimes that went on before him. But I was going to also say there's some good news. The CEOs, you know, the Republic, most of them are big money Republicans. They're pressuring McConnell and the Congress to do some damn thing about that darn gun violence. They're sick of it. Their employees getting shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Gary, I thank you for the call, and I'll see you later tonight at the Park Tavern for our AM 950 debate watching party this evening. And, as far as Biden, Warren, that will be interesting tonight to see if and how they go after each other. I could see really Biden attacking Warren and vice versa. And the two of them, like I was mentioning, their disagreements, they've gone back and forth with each other for about 2 decades plus now over the bankruptcy bill in the Senate. And they kind of have a different ideological view and vision for the country. So tonight, the stakes are going to be high for both of them to differentiate each other from the really their visions for the country, how they would approach things, what they offer. And I think Elizabeth Warren has done a really good job at presenting a vision for the country. Whereas Joe Biden, I haven't seen really anything except let's return to how things were before Trump. And that's really the extent of what I've seen. And I don't like the idea of running the campaign simply on I am not Trump, vote for me. So Biden's campaign leaked that he is going to go after Elizabeth Warren and her corporate work. And also, we don't know if this is true, but he potentially is going to criticize her for having too many plans. Now, do you think that's a good strategy?
She's done a nice job in kind of turning that into a feature, not something you can make fun of. It's like a little quirk that I think people like. That could backfire.
I think so as well. But either way, Biden's defending his lead right now. And really, in most state and national polls, he is the front runner. It's very rare that either Bernie or Warren beats him in a poll, but there are some. But if he's roughed up, it may raise questions about his ability to face off against Trump. And really, this is going to be a historically nasty campaign. I mean, 2016 with Hillary Clinton, that was bad. And we got a taste of what we can expect out of Trump. But he's waiting for this moment. He's waiting to get in campaign mode again. He loves the rallies, the atmospheres, the nicknames, the name calling. This is where he shines. This is what he lives for in politics. And I predict that no matter who the nominee is, it's going to get really, really nasty. But Warren's campaign has been mostly silent about how she's planning to approach tonight. But it's kind of accepted by most analysis that she's the best debater in the field. She kind of gets credit for that, and she's performed well the first two debates, I'd say, as well as outside of the debate atmosphere, putting policies forward. She's really rose in the polls because of the specific plans that Biden is allegedly going to criticize and make fun of tonight. But she kind of skyrocketed. She was in that pack of with Harris and O'Rourke and kind of that lower tier for the most of the beginnings of this race, but has skyrocketed this summer and largely due to those specific policy plans, outlining them, going into detail, posting them online. It's resonating with people. It's working. And she's gained a lot of traction, something that has been hard for any candidate to really gain in this whole cycle. But it's going to be interesting to see what Bernie does as well, if Bernie's going to join Warren taking on Joe Biden, or is he going to go after Warren? Because a lot of people see them as taking up the same pool of voters. I don't think he will. I don't think it's his approach. He's kind of always said that Elizabeth Warren's a good friend, shares a very similar vision. Really kind of they both want to take the country in the same direction. They just have a different extent that they would pursue certain things. But I don't predict Bernie going after Warren or Warren going after Bernie right now. I don't think it's in either their best interest. And wouldn't it be great, for me, this would be fantastic, is if it was a neck and neck race of Warren versus Sanders. That would just be ideal for me.
Well, they are neck and neck.
But
for second place.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
I know. You'd rather have them neck and neck for first.
Yeah. But yes, those three are really the ones to keep an eye on of who goes after who and to what extent. And then the other seven, it's really going to be vying for attention. What can they do to stand out, to make this count and gain some traction and get something going? Because at some point, you got to build the coalition. You got to get voters excited. And so far, there's been Warren's had an insurgent, Buttigieg has had one, and Yang has came from complete obscurity to relevant. So really, no one else has had a bump like them. The rest have just kind of stayed where they are or even went the other direction.
Yeah, Kamala Harris certainly among them, and
yeah.
Amy staying flat in the polls.
Harris did, after the first debate, have kind of a little bump from going after Joe Biden, but that didn't seem to last. And a lot of people saw her as potentially the front runner before everyone started declaring and actually getting into it. She was a very, like, one of the horses that would have the worst betting horse. Like, you would get the least return if you were betting on Kamala Harris early on in this. But let's go to Mark and Fridley and see what his thoughts are.
Well, we're going to tie this all together because the reason Kamala Harris took a dive was because of Tulsi Gabbard and the last debate and how Tulsi Gabbard basically chewed her up and spit her out when she referred to Kamala Harris's Medicare for All as no way, shape, and form was Medicare for All except in name only. And here's what I think is going to happen tonight with Andrew Yang. And I hope, I'm hoping that he might go to Team Bernie to become the Treasury Secretary, because I can see him making that type of unselfish sacrifice, but also something that I would have loved to have seen Bernie do in 2016, and that was to have named Tulsi Gabbard as his vice presidential candidate at the time. So I think we might get, and this is what I'm feeling, that we might get an announcement that involves Andrew Yang and Tulsi Gabbard going over to Team Bernie.
That would be great.
I think it would be, again, whom the media dislikes is the person that we want to vote for. And, I was one of the people, and I'm on the record as warning people in 2015 to stay away from Hillary because of her baggage, because of the skeletons in her closet. She was unelectable, and that proved true. Joe Biden is going to be 2.0. And I want to throw this in about Wilbur Ross, too, because he is the Commerce Secretary. And, we're talking about the National Oceanographic Institute and the Alabama thing. But if he's going to threaten people's careers and livelihoods for something as superficial as that, he is also the person that publishes, as the Commerce Secretary, the financial numbers every quarter, every month by the government. So GDP growth, job growth, economic expansion. And something the media has overlooked, the last quarter, all of the job numbers, all of the employment numbers, all of the wage increase, the GDP, had to be restated in a negative 20% capacity. So what that means is that they inflated the numbers economically that Wall Street takes a look at by 20%, and they had to restate them. That comes from a guy like Wilbur Ross. So if he's willing to get, these National Oceanographic Institute people's jobs on the line, do you not think he threatens the people that produce the economic numbers to make the economy look artificially good? And Gary hit the nail on the head. The reason why Elizabeth Warren didn't get along with Barack Obama and Eric Holder was because during the biggest financial collapse and crisis in our history, there was not a single banker who was prosecuted. And again, the two guys that you had on the show, the Fix-It show, we're capitalists. But here's, you know, this is human nature. Big capitalists eat little capitalists. And you guys were talking about Amazon. And what people need to know about Amazon is they pay zero in taxes. The money we spend as a government to cover the food stamps for workers who don't get paid enough to support themselves by Amazon is covered by us. Amazon pays zero taxes. And we need somebody, whether it's going to be Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, to hold these people accountable and look at the impact on human lives. If we could categorize how many people died as a result of the financial collapse, people that committed suicide because they lost their homes and lost their savings or couldn't afford health care and ended up dying or got into, you know, we need to punish corporate criminals. Barack Obama, Eric Holder wasn't willing to do that, and I think that Bernie Sanders, I think Elizabeth Warren will do that.
Well, thank you for the call, Mark. And yes, the point on Amazon, this is why I've always said that the minimum wage should be organized in a way where corporations with huge amounts of profit like Amazon, like Walmart, should have to pay a higher minimum wage than the mom-and-pop store on Main Street. It should be organized that way, because it's your duty, if you're going to have a company in a country that allows you to thrive so well and to prosper, make so much money, that you should pay back, you should give back, and not have, like you said, your employees being subsidized by the government on food stamps. They should all be taken care of. If a company can have such vast amounts of wealth, why aren't the workers who are creating that getting a fair wage from it? But let's take a break and we'll be right back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. What are your thoughts? Give us a call at 952-946-6205. We'll be right back.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance company.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
Victor's 1959 Cafe in South Minneapolis is a locally owned and operated restaurant offering traditional Cuban food. Open for breakfast and lunch daily with dinner Tuesday through Saturday. For night shift workers, Victor's even has both a morning and evening happy hour, and Victor's now accepts dinner reservations too. Stop in and try some delicious, authentic Cuban cuisine like ropa vieja and seafood paella. Make your reservation and learn more at victors1959cafe.com. Victor's 1959 Cafe, revolutionary Cuban cooking.
Hey, it's Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and muckraking host of The Bradcast, heard weeknights right here on AM 950. Whether it's photo ID restrictions, bad voting machines, or plain old voter intimidation, we will expose all of the latest schemes, frauds, and much more. Right here on The Bradcast with me, Brad Friedman.
And me, Desi Doyen.
Whatever, every weeknight at 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Registration is now open for the University of Minnesota Center for Spirituality and Healing's Mindfulness at Work Community Course, beginning on September 20th. In this online course, you'll learn what mindfulness is and isn't. You'll explore techniques that can help you respond better to stress, build connections with teammates and stakeholders, and understand how mindfulness can lead to increased attention span, decreased anxiety, and more. Brought to you by the University Center for Spirituality and Healing. Register now at csh.umn.edu.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Hunter Haas, Brett Johnson here for the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. And let's do a little rundown of some headlines. We got ABC warns the candidates at tonight's debate, no swearing. Good reminder. Brett,
did anyone swear at the last debates? I don't think they did, unless they
The one who would be Beto O'Rourke. The guy likes swearing. He's got a campaign shirt for gun violence, and it's got the F word on it. But he's been, he swore too right after the Ted Cruz election. That was the first thing he said when he got on stage. So maybe it's for Beto. But R. Kelly is a no-show in court in Minnesota today on a solicitation charge of a proposing paying for a 17-year-old girl to take off her clothes in 2001. But he didn't show up to court today here in town. Man, I can't believe he has more cases even. I thought they already threw the book at him.
If he can afford to do that, because if you're a rich celebrity, I could see that. But I heard R. Kelly was broke or bankrupt at this point.
Yeah.
He's probably going to get the book thrown at him for not showing up.
Oh, I think he's getting the book thrown at him just regardless with everything piling up. Yeah. He's in bad shape. But and then this is interesting. Trump's African-American quits the GOP. So Gregory Schiedel, the black man President Trump once described at a rally as my African-American, is fed up. And 2 years of frustration with the president's rhetoric on race and the lack of diversity in the administration, he decided to leave the entire Republican Party and run for a seat of the U.S. House of Representatives as an independent in 2020. So Trump's African-American has left the GOP. Let's go to John in Minneapolis. John, it's good to have you.
Yes. I have several questions. One, I'd like to know if Elizabeth Warren can ask Joe Biden about his constant, you know, he bragged for years about being responsible for eliminating the Glass-Steagall Act. After three or four rounds of quantitative easing, he finally realized his mistake and they passed Dodd-Frank. I don't know how many people would vote for Joe Biden if they realized what he had done to our banking system.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you have more?
Yeah, and then the other question is about Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar. When the Affordable Care Act was passed, she made two very strong statements. One, she said, "We can't have a public option. We've got to guarantee that the insurance companies remain profitable." And also, she said, "There's no way that we should ever allow negotiated rates for the pharmaceutical industry. They also had to remain profitable." And I assume I'm wondering if these candidates can address those two issues, or are they just answering questions from the panel?
Well, thank you for the call, John. And as far as Biden has passed history, I think it's clear to me, at least, that the reason Joe Biden is in the lead in these polls is he is running as Barack Obama. He is trying to have the popular kids in school rub off on association. So he's trying to stand next to the cool kids and then be a cool kid because of it. But really,
great analogy.
Really, Biden was put as the vice president to balance out the ticket back in 2008. And he was supposed to be the establishment choice, the more conservative, to show that it's a reasonable ticket, that Barack Obama wasn't too far out there, too progressive. They needed someone to anchor that, to have the classic.
They wanted experience, essentially, because mm-hmm. that's what the main criticism was, is that Obama's inexperienced. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Yes.
That's why they brought Biden in.
And it's the more exposure he has, the more people are going to realize that he, in fact, is not Barack Obama. I mean, the distinction was made in 2008 that he was there because he was a very strong contrast of Barack Obama. But now he's trying to blend in as much as possible. But I think that will be exposed over time. And most people aren't paying as close attention as all of us are. So they are finding things out at a kind of slower pace about his past history, who he is. But as we get closer and closer to the time that people actually show up and vote, I think more and more people will start drawing those distinctions. Brett, anything else before we go?
Come to the debate for sure. We still have those tickets available only at the door. Can't get those online anymore, and I'm really looking forward to watching this debate with other progressives, because usually when I've been watching the debate, it's just been me or with maybe a friend or something. So getting some different perspectives as we go, because it's much different to do post-debate analysis after the debate rather than actually doing it live where you can talk and
say, that would be great.
A great point that candidate made, or, oh, that was a dumb idea.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun tonight. Come join us at the Park Tavern, 6:30. Tickets available at the door, $15. One more thing. I said that I left one candidate out when I said insurgent candidates. Julian Castro, he has definitely had a major bump from that first debate. So I'm going to keep my eye on him as well, because he could potentially stay in there for a bit longer. He was someone who went from a nobody to a somebody real quick. So my eyes are on him as well. But that's it for today. Join us at the Park Tavern tonight for the debate. Later.